Now, and the longest government shutdown in American history just reached its peak after President Donald Trump placed the State of the Union address on hold and grounded House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hours before she was to jet off to Afghanistan on a government aircraft yesterday. Associate Editor at Daily Maverick, Brooks Spector, is on the line to us. Wow, Brooks, this is all starting to look increasingly juvenile.
Well, good afternoon, Joanne. I mean, I think maybe they need a sandbox and some boxing gloves or sharp sticks or, you know, jack-in-the-box teams. Buried in the midst of all of this juvenile behavior, which as a mother you may remember from the time when your kids were much smaller, there are important points buried in all of this. I mean, if we trace it back, remember, the government obviously needs a budget to operate, and the budget in the United States system starts with the House of Representatives. They pass appropriations subject to the requests from the president. The Senate gets a whack at it, and then the budget bill goes to the president to be signed. And in this case, the budget bill for a good chunk of the government, not all of it, about a third of it, more or less, was held up because the president insisted on at least $5.7 billion to build his wall between Mexico and the United States. Not even the whole border, just some hundreds of miles of it, because there's a river in the way and some of it, and there are mountains and so forth. The Democrats, for their side, don't want to spend the money on this wall, arguing it's wasteful, inefficient, and a vanity project by somebody who likes building things. And although the Trump administration keeps trying to frame this as Democrats don't want border security, the Democrats' argument is we'd like effective border security. And by the way, there are those 800,000 dreamers, the people who are now young adults who were brought across the border illegally years before as small children, and for whom various opportunities had existed for them to stay legally in the U.S., and that should be part of the overall budget trade-off on the homeland security issues, and there are a number of other things like that. As it played out, the House of Representatives did pass a budget that included money for all the affected government departments way back at the beginning of time, late last year. The Senate, under Republicans, passed a very similar bill, but it didn't get to the president's signature because he refused to sign it, and it, the Senate never actually reconciled the precise bill.
Dear, we've lost our line to Brooks, so we'll try and reconnect with him in just a moment. Remember, this is a huge story because much as our workers often find themselves in a very difficult position, the American workers are feeling exactly the same pressure right now. There are 800,000 American workers who are actually receiving nothing, no pay at this moment. And that is why it's so important that this issue is resolved. You know that Davos, the gathering in Switzerland of the World Economic Forum, is actually happening in just a few days' time. Many countries are traveling to that. But Donald Trump won't be going. He's cancelled his delegation's trip. And part of the reason that he's not going through is because of this partial government shutdown. So it's a very serious issue indeed. And we are going to explore this in a little bit more detail with Brooks once we get him on the lineup. Let's bring Brooks Spector back into the conversation and take you back overseas right now, because, of course, he is speaking about the government shutdown in the United States. So, Brooks, we were just talking about the fact that 800,000 government workers are going without pay as we speak. What would be the implications if this government shutdown lasted much longer?
Well, part of the implications include a couple of things, not the least of which is that 800,000 government employees haven't had a paycheck for the last two pay periods, and they have bills and they have mortgages and car payments and all the rest of things that normal people have everywhere else, and that affects businesses, and that affects banks, and the ripple effects are quite extraordinary. And there are people now trying to project that as its overall effect on the economies, and they say it's measurable and it will get worse. But even beyond that, there are whole classes of employees, those people who do the checks at the airports to make sure you're not carrying on the plane something dangerous or forbidden. They haven't been paid either, and a fair number of these people who are distinctly not really, really well paid have been calling in sick on the grounds they can't even afford to get to work anymore because they can't put petrol in their cars or pay for a bus ticket, depending on circumstances. And then there are whole categories of normal government reports and normal government activities in national parks and in economic forecasting for all the different agencies and the processing of things like agricultural support loans. The cascading effect, the longer it runs, the deeper and the nastier and the more difficult it becomes. The Secret Service agents who guard the president are effectively now volunteers because they haven't been paid either. The Coast Guard that supposedly interdicts drug smuggling by boat around the perimeter of the country, they are effectively volunteers. And all of this becomes really, really difficult for normal people, as well as the impact on all the other business activities in the country. Where it goes forward now, no one seems to know, because the Democrats, now that they control the House of Representatives, have drawn that red line in the sand. They will not pay for Donald Trump's near-mythic Great Wall between Mexico and the United States. The Republicans in the Senate are now feeling distinctly squeezed by this because they're being used by Donald Trump's administration as the bulwark against moving forward with the Democratic positions on this. And so that's where you have the standoff. And then as you explained in your intro, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi effectively uninvited the president to give his State of the Union message when it was originally scheduled at the end of this month if the shutdown were to exist, saying that they couldn't arrange the security and the protocol and all the rest of this without having government employees capable of doing the work and being paid to do it. And in a little bit of that was, after all, a bit of a sharp stick in the eye, because Donald Trump obviously saw this as a great opportunity to explain his position. So in return, he canceled the flight, the military flight that would have taken Nancy Pelosi and I think it was 20 other members of Congress on an inspection trip to Afghanistan and several other countries, saying that at this time of a government shutdown, it seems a terrible waste to make use of military craft to do this. Newspapers then reported, of course, that Donald Trump's wife used government transportation to fly to their country club in Florida and to use security, obviously, to arrange that. In the midst of all of this, of course, which I'm not sure was in your lead-in, comes the news from BuzzFeed, the online news service, that Michael Cohen, who was, up until they had that serious divorce, in effect, is going to be able to say that Donald Trump as candidate was still pushing hard on his plans to try to build a hotel and apartment building in Moscow, even after he had been nominated for the presidency, and that Donald Trump, I hope you're sitting down for this part, that Donald Trump had told him to lie to Congress about it. Now, the problem with that is there's a term for that in the law, and it's called suborning perjury, and that's a federal felony. And if you go back into the history of things, that was the first section of the original order of impeachment for Richard Nixon, suborning perjury.
Wow, that's so, a very, very, very intriguing and complicated story, because there's so many different angles to this, Brooks. Of course, we are running out of time at this point, so I must jump ahead to this important question. How difficult is it going to be to resolve this impasse over the shutdown?
It's going to be really difficult, because neither side appears to want to give in. But to be honest, I think that the Trump administration is on the weaker of the two grounds on this, because these employees, the entire federal government, is, after all, effectively employees of Donald Trump. And the longer this goes on, the longer it becomes difficult for people to use air transport, the longer it becomes difficult for farmers to get access to their crop support loans, the longer it becomes difficult for small businesses to process SBA, Small Business Administration loans, the longer it gets difficult to do any number of other government functions, the more complaints will rise. And the polling tells you, at least up until now, that the blame for all of this is substantially on the side of Donald Trump. He caused it, he's blamed for it, and that's what the polls say at this point.
Thank you so much for explaining that to us so comprehensively. Brooke Spector, he is Associate Editor at the Daily Maverick.